Psalm 9, verse 10 says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you have not forsaken, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Those who know your name will put their trust in you. Psalm 29, verse 2 says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Psalm 115, verses 1 through 3. "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because of your loving kindness, because of your truth, why should the nations say, 'Where now is their God?' Our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases." Not to us. Not to this preacher, not to this congregation, but to your name give glory. And then one that I love from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, that says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Praise God for his name. You know, over and over again in the Bible, we hear about the name of the Lord. Your name, the name of the Lord. And the Bible gives many specific names of our God. And every one of those names tell us something about him, about his character. And they also tell us about how he relates to us, his people. This morning, I'd like to focus our attention on one of those names of God, one of his glorious names, the name Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Provide. The Hebrew word for provide, that's translated provide, the Lord will provide, is ra'ah, transliterated R-A-A-H, ra'ah. It literally means to see, or to see beforehand, or to see after. Our English word provide actually comes from the Latin. And it comes from two words, actually, or a prefix and a word, providere, which means, or provideo, which means to see beforehand. To see beforehand. Providio. And in seeing beforehand, to provide means to see the need beforehand and to act to meet that need. That's what our God does. That's what our God does. He sees our need or needs before we even have the need, and then he acts to provide the need. You see, his pre-vision leads to his provision. Can you say that with me? His pre-vision leads to his provision. That's our God. Or as one writer puts it, he says, "Thus to God, pre-vision is necessarily followed by provision, for he certainly will provide for that need which he foresees. has foreseen shows him to exist. God sees and knows our need. In fact, right now, listen. God sees you right now. Everyone here, everyone that's watching online, he sees your need right now, or your needs right now. He sees what your needs are going to be this afternoon. Because your needs this afternoon might be different than what they are right now. He sees your needs tomorrow. He sees your needs the day after tomorrow and the day after that and all your life. God sees what you have need of. And listen, as we follow the Lord, as we seek the Lord and trust in his name, he is faithful to provide our needs. That's our God. That's Jehovah Jireh. As Paul put it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and you know it, he said to the Philippians, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." What a God! That's our God. That's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Do you know him by that name? Do you know him by that name? Now, we're going to take a look at that today. But before we do, I want to mention one danger. One danger. When it comes to God providing our needs. Many times, God's provisions are so constant, so continual, so regular, so consistent, that if we're not careful, we'll miss them. Or we will somehow maybe take them for granted. We need to, I think, at least I do, need to be constantly reminded that all that we have is provided for us by God. All of our physical needs and all the physical blessings that we have come from the Lord. Our food, our clothing, our shelter, the sleep that we got last night. I know you all got sleep because you're going to stay awake as I preach. The every physical blessing is provided for us by God. And if we're not careful, we can take those things for granted sometimes. Every emotional need that we have, the need for love, the need for hope, the need for joy, the need for peace. When we experience those things, you know what? They come from the hand of God. Jehovah Jireh provides them. You can't work that up. Can't go down to the neighborhood store and buy one of those. Where can I go to buy some joy? There's no store that I can buy joy in. Or hope. Where do you find hope today? I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from the hand of God. Jehovah Jireh provides that. Every spiritual blessing that we have comes from the Lord. Right down from forgiveness of sin to spiritual life, to eternal life, abundant life. Every promise of God is given to us by the hand of God. And I tell you, it's so constant. I don't know about you, but I have been blessed. And I feel blessed And it just keeps, God keeps blessing. And if I'm not careful, I just might forget where those things come from. But they come from the hand of God. That's Jehovah Jireh. And that's why it says in the Bible, we should always be thankful. We're coming up to Thanksgiving, but we just don't be thankful on one day of the year. We should be in everything, what? Give thanks. Because this is God's will. Because you know what? Everything we have comes from the Lord. And not careful, we forget that. But folks, listen. Sometimes God provides in such a way, in an unusual way, an extraordinary way, that you can't miss it. You know, this is God. This is Jehovah Jireh providing. You can't miss it. And I want to share some examples of that with you today, okay? So take your Bibles, and if you would, open them up to Exodus chapter 16. And let me give you the background to this. Exodus 16. God has led the and the first point on your outline is God's provision for the people of God in the wilderness. God's provision for the people of God in the wilderness. The circumstances, and He's led them out of Egypt, and there's disobedience, and so He leads them into the wilderness. And what was that like? Deuteronomy 8:15. You don't have to turn there, but it says this. He, God, led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there's no water. He led them out into this vast wilderness, this desert. It was totally, totally a desolate place. And I know that. Because 47 years ago, Linda and I were in that wilderness. We were in Jordan, and we took a bus from Amman down to the Gulf of Aqaba, down to the rose-red city of Petra. Did you ever hear of Petra? We took a bus down the King's Highway in Jordan, went right through that desert place. And I'll never forget looking out the window and looking, miles and miles and miles and miles of nothing. I mean, it was desert. It was, I mean, you might see a burnout shrub every once in a while. There was nothing. And God led them, right? God led them out there. And He tells them why He led them out there. He said, I led you out there to discipline you. I led you out there to test you. I led you out there to humble you. And I led you out there so that when I provided, you would know it was from me. And God, in that wilderness, in that vast, desolate, terrible desert, provided for His people. And you know what? He provided food for them. You see there in Exodus 16, verse 4, it says, Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. I'll rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, and that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. Can you imagine? Who would ever thought? Can you imagine bread raining down from the sky? I mean, I've talked about, you know, it's raining cats and dogs. But that's a figure of speech, right? It rained bread down from heaven. God did that. What happened here? Look at verse 13. The last part of verse 13, it says, And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, Manu! Manu! That's Hebrew for what the heck is this? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is bread which the Lord has given you to eat. It's bread. God every night rained down bread from the heavens. And every morning it was there. Except on the sixth day, he rained down twice as much, so they wouldn't gather on the Sabbath day. Now, how long did this happen? Look at at verse 35 of chapter 16. It says, the sons of Israel ate the manna 40 years. 40 years. In Psalm, you can put this down, Psalm 78, 24 and 25. It's called bread from heaven. It's called food from heaven and bread of angels. Now, how much manna did God provide? It's estimated that the children of Israel, it's estimated from 2.5 to 3.6 million people. That's 2.5 to 3.6 million mouths to feed. Can you imagine it? How much bread did he have to rain down to feed all those people? Well, again, if you take those numbers and you figure it out, you know, if God would have decided to deliver that bread by rail, by railroad car, and you got a diesel, you'd have to have 46 boxcar loads, with every boxcar 4,000 square feet or cubic feet of capacity, 46 boxcar loads pulling up in the desert every day to stock those shelves so the people of God could eat. And on the sixth day, you'd have a train, not of 46 cars, 92 cars. Every day for 40 years. You know what that is? That's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provided for his people. And who would have thought? Rain, bread raining from heaven. But he did it so they would know it was him. But not only did he provide bread, he gave them water. Look at Exodus 17 and look at verse 5. Exodus 17, verse 5. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of the Israel and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock and water will come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. God gave them water. But you know what? You know what he could have done? He could have had it rain. You know, sometimes it does rain in the desert. Not often, but sometimes. But God could have just said, every day I'm going to have it rain, and you put your buckets out at night, and you'll get some water. And by the way, we'll grow some plants over here and give you some more food. But didn't do that. He said, strike the rock. You know what kind of rock it was? Deuteronomy in chapter 8, verse 15, it says, he brought water for you out of the rock of flint. Flint is hard. It's what you make tools out of and arrowheads, and it's hard stone. God made water come out of a hard rock. How much did he give him? Psalm 78, 15 and 16. Listen to this. He gave them abundant drink like the ocean depths. He brought forth stream also from the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. rivers. This wasn't just a little trickle. This was rivers of water coming out of a rock. Who would have ever thunk it? You know what that is? That's Jehovah Jireh. That's the God who provides. He wanted them to, this is from me. This is from me. How much water? Well, we're just going to give. I read it, and I'm not sure of the details, but I think cities planning for water needs of people, it's up to like 30 gallons they plan. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's around 30 gallons they plan for every person in a city. Just say we just do 1 gallon a person a day. Do you know how much that water that is? If we were going to deliver it by rail, you'd have to have 360 tank cars with a capacity of 10,000 gallons each pull up every day in the wilderness to provide for the people of God. Now we're getting a long train, aren't we? We got a train every day pulling in of over 400 cars to provide for the needs of the people. And you know what? He did it. He did it. That's Jehovah. How long did he? 40 years. He did it for 40 years. And not only that, God supplied their clothing. You don't have to turn there, but Deuteronomy 29:5, it says, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandal has not worn out on your foot. Imagine that. Clothes lasting for 40 years. And shoes lasting for 40, sandals lasting for 40 years. And he provided for them shade by day, a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. He provided light and heat in the night. God, God's provision for the people of God in the wilderness, he showed them. He was Jehovah Jireh. The Lord who provides. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Kings. The second point on your outline. In 1 Kings chapter 17, God's provision for the prophet of God while in hiding. 1 Kings chapter 17. Let me give you the background here. This is the story of Elijah. The story of Elijah. And Elijah lived in a very evil day. Ahab was king in Israel. He worshipped. Ahab worshipped and served the Baals, built the Asherah. False worship. And you know what? False worship always leads to immoral behavior. And it did. It was a very wicked, evil time. I'll tell you, the leaders were wicked. And you know, they talk about trickle-down economics. There were trickle-down ethics. And the people were evil. And that's the time that Elijah lived in. And in chapter 17 and verse 1, Elijah explodes onto the scene. Never heard of this guy before. But he explodes on the scene, and it says he pronounced to Ahab. See it there in verse 1? As the Lord lives, before whom who I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. He pronounced judgment on the king. And in verse 2 and 3, God tells him, go away from here. Turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. So what we have here is the prophet of God in hiding. But God provides for him. God provides for him at the brook Cherith. Verses 4 through 7. Look at verse 4a. It shall be that you will drink of the brook. Listen. God would provide water for him in a normal way. Don't miss it. You say, well, he just drank out of a brook. God provided for him. If you don't remember, you might miss it. God provided for him in a natural way. You will drink of the brook. Even though it was normal, still God, Jehovah Jireh, was providing for his need. And then verse 4b, God would supply his food in an unusual way. I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. You see, God saw his need beforehand, prevision. And he commanded the ravens to supply that need, provision. Prevision, provision. Look at it there. I've commanded the ravens, he says, to bring and meet your need. Look at verse 6. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. Who would have thought it? Folks, this is the first fat mention of fast food in the Bible. And it was, who would have thunk it? In the morning, the ravens would come in and drop a steak down to the prophet from Outback. An Outback steak down to the prophet. And they would, another one would come and drop down some breadsticks from Olive Garden, the garlic ones. And this happened every morning and every night. Who would have ever thought that? I don't know how you feel about that. Here comes my steak. Ugh. But you know why? To show him, this is me. I'm providing this for you. This is from my hand. I commanded the ravens to do this. Oh, you see, that's Jehovah Jireh, because his prevision leads to his provision for the man of God, for the prophet. And then in verse 7, look what happens in verse 7. But then, what happened? It happened after a while that the brook dried up. The brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. What now? What's going to happen now? God provides in another unusual way. Because God's provision, we see now in verses 8 through 16, through a poor widow. A poor widow. Let me read this. This is amazing. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Then Elijah said to her, don't fear. Do not fear. Go do as I have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterwards, you may make one for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour is not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty according to the word of the Lord which he had spoke to Elijah. Oh my! The brook dries up! What am I going to do now? Oh, go to some rich guy. This guy over here has a whole bunch of riches. He's got stuff stored up. He'll help you. No. Go to a poor, destitute widow that has nothing. She's down to her last little muffin. And she's going to die with her son. Just like I commanded the ravens, I've commanded the widow that she supply for you. Who would have thunk it? So he goes. He says, get me some water. She said, okay, I'll get you one. And by the way, get me some bread. And she tells him, I just have a little flour and a little oil. We're going to make that bread and I'm going to eat it and die. And he says, make me one first. Make me one first. And you know, this widow believed. And she believed what he said. You do this and God's going to supply your need. And not only did she believe, she acted upon her belief and she trusted in the word of the prophet. And you know what? God came through. God made that little bit of flour multiply. And that oil multiply. And their needs, not only the prophet's needs, but her needs and her family's needs were met for many days. You know who that is? Who is it? Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Because his prevision leads to his provision. Now we've seen God's provision for the people of God in the wilderness. We've seen God's provision for the prophet of God while in hiding. Now thirdly, I want to just share with you God's provision for the preacher of God while in crisis. And what I want to do here is I want to share my testimony. I want to tell you today, listen, I want to tell you today what God has done for my soul. Back 38 years ago, I was in a church that was in a denomination, and the denomination went pro-abortion. And I am very, well, let me say, God is very pro-life. God is pro-life. And I am pro-life. And I knew that I this was a bad situation. And I talked to the leaders of the church and I talked to denominational leaders. But they remained pro-abortion and they were going to use funds in their hospitals to perform abortions. And I knew, folks, I knew I had to leave. I had to resign. And so I did. I went in and said, I can't be in this church. Now here's the situation. I had no job. I had no money in the bank. We're considered self-employed, so I had no unemployment. I had no 401ks or any of that stuff. I had a wife, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and one in the oven. Our third one, she was pregnant. And here I am. What's going to happen? Well, a week after I resigned my job, I got a telephone call. It was from a couple that I had the privilege of officiating at their wedding several months before. He was in the Army, and he had moved down south to an Army base down south. And I had mentioned to him, I said, Matt, we have a small car, and we're going to have our third child. We're going to need a bigger car. Would you look down south? You know, down south, they don't rust out and stuff, you know. So look for a car for me. And if you find something, let me know, and maybe I'll purchase that car. Well, he calls me, and he says, Pastor, I got good news for you. I said, what's that, Matt? He said, I found this wonderful car. It's clean, Pastor. It's a couple years old, but it's clean, and it was such a good deal, I bought it for you. I said, oh, Matt, no. I said, you haven't heard. I don't have a job. I quit the church. He said, oh, I didn't know that. I said, why didn't you call me first? He said, I tried, but it was such a good deal, I didn't want it to get away, you know, and I knew you would want it. I said, oh, Matt, I can't. I'm sorry, I just can't. He said, no problem, I'll put it in the paper. It'll sell like that, Pastor, no problem, don't worry about it. 2 weeks later, he called me back. He said, we put it in the paper. I haven't had one person call me on that car. And what I'd like to do, Pastor, is I'd like to give you the car, and you can pay me back when you get a job. I said, I was feeling really low at this time. I said, Matt, I don't know if I'll ever get a job. I can't take it. He said, okay, I'll put it in the paper again. So week passes. He calls again. He said, I put it in the paper again. We haven't had one call on that job. And my wife and I prayed about it, and the Lord told us we're to give you this car. I said, oh, Matt, I don't think I can take that. And he said, listen, it's not our car. It's the Lord's car. And if you're not going to take it, we're going to give it to our church. He said, I'm driving it up. And he drove up a car, and we got a brand new car. That's Jehovah Jireh. When I left the church, I didn't know if my insurance was going to cover our birth of our baby. I didn't check because I thought that might tempt me to stay. But we found out that the insurance was going to cover, I think it was 70% of the birth, or 70 to 80% of the birth. And I breathed a sigh of relief, said, thank you, Lord. But one night, Saturday night, Linda was awakened at night and got up, and she just had an impulse to figure out how much it was going to cost us. So she put down all that we knew it was going to cost us and took 80% of it, and we were going to have to pay $586. The next day, I preached in a church down in Akron, and they took a love offering for me. It was $586.20. That is true. You know who that is? That is Jehovah Jireh. His prevision led to his provision. And so, here we are. No job, no consistent income. I was preaching in some churches, but no real income. But you know, for 3 months before I left that church, I didn't give to the church because I said, I can't give to a church that it supports abortion. So I had put the money away, my tithe money, away in the bank. And there it sat. And then I had received some money from preaching, and I put tithe money away because I didn't have a church to give it in, and I felt real uncomfortable. I said, Lord, I don't feel comfortable with that money sitting there. I've got to give it. So I sat down. I believe, again, it was a Saturday, and I wrote out tithe checks. I didn't have a church, so I gave to Haven of Rest. I gave to the Way Out Prison Ministry. I gave to some other parachurch organizations, but I wrote those tithe checks out, and I'll never forget. I got them, I wrote them out, I put them in the mail, and I had these checks in the mail, and I put them in the mail, and I came back in my living room, I sat down, oh, wow. I just feel so relieved that money is out. The mailman came and took those checks. So I went out to the mailbox, and in the mailbox was a big vanilla envelope made out to Mr. Lloyd Sutherland, People usually don't use that name, but it's Mr. Lloyd Sutherland. And it was from International Mineral and Chemical Company. That was a company that I worked for 6 years before. 6 years before. Then what in the world is this? So I open it up, and there's a letter inside. Dear Mr. Sutherland, we found your address because we needed to contact you and tell you, when I was in seminary, I worked for them as a security guard. They said, we want to inform you that when you were an employee with us, we bought stock for you. And we have included the stock that we have bought with you. There were a certain amount of shares, I can't remember how many, and 6 years dividends. And those 6 years dividends were more than the money I sent out in tithe. You know who that is? It's Jehovah Jireh. His prevision led to his provision. He saw me put those tithes into the mailbox. And he had them find my information 6 years after. And that very day was in my mailbox. I got to tell you a couple more. I'll tell you, one night, Linda's pregnant, she's tired, she's on the couch. There's a mound of dishes in our sink. And I thought, you know, I probably ought to do them. Being the nice guy I am, I probably ought to do these dishes. But I went in, we didn't have any dish detergent. I said, I'm sorry, Linda, I can't do the dishes. We'll have to try to get some dish detergent. I'll try to get some, but we don't have any dish detergent, and I'm going out ministering. And I went out, and I was preaching somewhere or sharing something somewhere, and I went out that night. When I was out, the phone rang. And you can talk to Linda about this. She answered the phone, and the person on the other end of the phone said, is this the Sutherlands? Linda said, yes, it is. She said, would you check your porch? She said, what? Would you check your porch? I've left something on your porch. So Linda put the phone down, went out on the porch. There were grocery bags full of food. And she went back in, and she picked up the phone, and she said, who do I have to say thanks to? Who can I say thanks to for this? She said, thank the Lord, honey, and hung up. But here's the neat thing. Do you know in those bags of groceries, we had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and they have favorite kinds of cereals. They were all there. The favorite kinds of foods that we liked were all in those bags. And Linda actually woke up Jeffrey and brought him down and said, Jeffrey, look what the Lord has done. Look at these. And I came home, and Linda had brought the grocery bags in, and I went in and I looked in the grocery bags, and dish detergent. And I had to do the dishes that night. Do you know who that is? That's Jehovah Jireh. And I have several other ones, and I'm going to do one more. God is so good. You know, I'll tell you, I used to wear shoes until they all literally would wear out on my feet. And I had shoes, I hate to say this, well, no, I don't. The soles of my shoes, I had 2 big holes in them. They were preacher shoes. They were holy. I'll never forget this. It's a Sunday morning. I went into my living room. I knelt down at my chair where I would have my quiet time. And I was praying. I was praying about the sermon and this kind of thing. I was praying. And all of a sudden it came to me, that I needed shoes. And I said, Lord, God, I need a pair. I really do, Lord. I mean, I need a pair of shoes. And I looked up and looked over on the table that right beside my chair, and there was an advertisement that we had gotten in the mail. You know how you get those? And what it said was, shoes, 40% off. 40% off. And there were the shoes, just the kind of shoes I liked and I wanted. And they were 40% off. And I said, and this is what I said, is that how you're going to provide for me, Lord? And then I went back to praying. I went to church. I preached. That was when this church was down at the medical building, Summit County Medical Building. I preached. And afterwards, we greeted one another. And I went out and got in my car. And in the back seat of my car was a brown paper bag. Brown paper bag. My first thought was, we probably provided a meal for somebody and they're returning the dishes. You know how that happens? That was my thought. So I didn't think anything of it. I drove home, got out of the car, got my Bible, picked up the brown paper bag, brought it in, opened up the bag, and there was the exact shoes that were in that advertisement. The exact shoes that I saw, brand new, in my size. And I went back to the church the next week and I told them that story and I said, would you please come to me, whoever did that, would you come to me and let me know, because I'd really like to thank you. No one ever came. You know what that is? That's Jehovah Jireh. His prevision led to his provision. What a God. God's provision for his people in the wilderness. God's provision for his prophet while in crisis or while in hiding. God's provision for his preacher while in crisis. But this last one is the most important one. God's provision for the people of the world in sin. I want you, please, take your Bibles. Turn to Genesis 22. Please, please, forbear with me here. But Genesis 22, we've got to see this. Got to see this. By the way, if you have a need today, if you have a need here today, God knows it. And what you should, don't fear. Don't fear. Don't get worried. Jesus said, don't worry about it. You know what? The birds of the sky, God takes care of them. The flowers, the field lilies, they don't toil, they don't spin. And yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What we should do, you know what we need to do? If you have a need, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, because you know what? My God will supply all your needs by his riches, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, if you seek him and trust in his name. But here we have the story of God's provision for the people of the world in sin. First of all, the story here. By the way, the name Jehovah Jireh, I think, is only mentioned one time in Scripture, and it's here in this chapter. It's here in this chapter. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac. You remember Abraham had been told he was going to be given a son. He waits 25 years for the promise to be fulfilled, and finally they have Isaac. Now Isaac is a teenager. And you see in verses 1 and 2, you know what God said? Abraham, here I am. Take thy son, thine only son, the son whom thou lovest. Get thou up and go to the land of Moriah, to a mount there, and offer him up as a burnt offering. Oh my. And do you see what it says, the next verse? Abraham arose early. I think I'd have slept in that day. But he arises up early. He takes his son and he takes a couple servants with him, and they go into the land of Moriah to a mount there. The Jews believe that it was that mount was the very mount. That's the area around Jerusalem. And they believe that that mount was the mount where the temple would later be built and sacrifices would take place. But they get to the land of Moriah. Took 3 days' journey. Here they are at the bottom of the mountain, and Abraham says to his servants, you two stay here, and while me and the lad, my boy, while we go up that mountain, we're going to worship, and we'll return to you. And so they're going up. He lays the wood on Isaac's back, takes the fire, and they're going up the hill, and Isaac says to his dad, Father, here I am, son. I see the fire for the sacrifice. I see the wood for the sacrifice. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? See what he says in verse 8? My son, God will supply himself a lamb. So they make their way up the hill. Abraham builds the altar. He binds his son. Jews call this the binding. He willingly allowed his father to bind him and put him on the altar. Abraham takes the knife and is about to kill his son. And the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham! Don't stretch forth your hand against your son. This was a test. Now I see what is in your heart. I see you fear the Lord. Don't do it. And then it says in verse 13 and 14, look there. Verse 13 and 14. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. As it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. You know what was needed? A substitutionary sacrifice. And God's prevision led to his provision. There, caught in the thicket, was a ram. And the ram was a substitute for Isaac. It's a beautiful story. But it's a picture. It's a picture, listen, of a greater story. Of a greater story. It's a picture of Jesus Christ in the gospel. Because before the foundations of the world, God looked down through the ages and he saw. He saw our need. He saw you. Hear me. Listen to me. He saw you. He saw you. He saw you. He saw your need. He saw that we were helpless and hopeless. We were dead in trespasses and sins. He saw that. And his prevision led to his provision. Father, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? You could write that across the Old Testament. All the time in the tabernacle, all the time in the temple, they were asking, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for the sacrifice? 2,000 years later, John the Baptist is at the Jordan baptizing. And he looked up. There he is! There he is, Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Oh my! Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Listen, that the God, listen, who made the entire universe and is infinite, would visit our planet. That's, who would have thought that? In fact, how could a holy God enter into to humankind that's fallen? How could he enter? Have a woman that never knew a man? Conceive? Virgin birth? That's crazy. Who would ever thought that? And yet Jesus came. And who would ever thought he would live a perfect life and then go to a cross and let people put him on a cross? And through that, through an awful death on a cross, would provide forgiveness of sins. I mean, you can't make this up. That's crazy. That's incomprehensible. That's like who would ever thought that? You know what that is? That's Jehovah Jireh. Because you know what we needed? You know what you and I needed? A substitutionary sacrifice. And God saw our need. And his prevision led to his provision. That's Jehovah Jireh. In the mount, he will provide. What mount? Mount Calvary. He will provide. That's awesome. He provided our salvation. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Would you bow in prayer, please? And I want the praise team, would you come forward, please, right now? I just, as you just close your eyes, just listen to me for a minute. God has provided. But you know what? To really benefit from his provision, we've got to take the provision. What if I, when Matt called me and said, I'm going to give you that car, said, no, I'm not taking it. Or when International Mineral and Chemical Company sent me those stock and those dividends, and I sent it back and said, you keep it. I'm not taking it. You'd say, you're crazy, Pastor. You see, when God provides for us, we have to take the provision by faith. And you know what? There are people here today. God's provided your salvation. Jesus substituted for you on the cross. And you need to come this morning and accept his provision. Is that you? Do you believe in Jehovah Jireh? Will you come? There's others here today. You have needs. I'm not telling you anything. Will you, in faith, bring your needs up to this front of this church today and just kneel down and in faith say, I'm seeking you, Lord. Would you provide for my needs? I'm going to ask you just to get up right where you are. If you have a need, I have a need. I'm going to come down here and pray. If you have a need, you want to bring before the Lord today, would you come right now and just kneel down in the front of this church? If you need Jesus, come and kneel down and ask him to save your soul. If you need whatever, physical, emotional, spiritual, bring your need to Jesus. Would you come as we just bow in prayer now? Come, come and meet Jehovah Jireh. Thank you, Lord, that you're the God who sees. You know our needs. Right now, this afternoon, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, and all our lives. My prayer is that we would seek you and your kingdom and its righteousness. And Lord, you're a faithful God to provide for our needs. So Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that you're Jehovah Jireh. You care about us. You haven't promised to meet our greeds, but you have promised to meet our needs. So thank you so much. We praise you, Lord. Would you sing with us now?